Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Musan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Internal and eternal work in our hearts, bringing forth 30, 60, 100 fold, and that will become fruitful and truly flourish in the land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen and amen. Let's give our mommies a big hand, you know. Right here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so Pastor Ayo shared yesterday an amazing time we had yesterday. And just right in line with the theme of our conference, flourish. So I'm just going to take it up from there. Flourish. The word flourish, I want to first give us the etymology of that word, flourish, from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It means to bloom, to grow luxuriantly, to prosper, to thrive, to begin to flower, to increase in vigor, to be at the peak of one's powers. Oh, I like that. I like that. To bloom, to grow luxuriantly, to prosper, to be at the peak of one's flower, to thrive, to begin to flower, to increase in vigor. Those are the stuffs I found on Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the etymology of the word flourish. Now, let me give some of the synonyms so that you can have something, you know, at least you're not going to forget any, all of them. There's one that would actually, you know, resonate with you. Synonym is just words that means the same thing with a particular word. So some of the synonyms according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary are thrive, prosper, burgeon, proliferate, produce, flower, overgrow, sprout, shoot up, bloom, luxuriate, propagate, germinate, regenerate. I like this one. Arrive. You don't want to say somebody has arrived. Succeed. Excel. I like this one too. Make it. Glory. Get ahead. Win. Oh, and I like this one. Eat it big. It's one of the synonyms for flourish, to eat it big. Prevail. Triumph. To make one's mark. And this last one, it's amazing. I like it. When I found it in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, I loved it. It resonated with me. Come into one's own. Hallelujah. Come into one's own. Come into our own property. Come into our own establishment. You know, to come into one's own. That's amazing. I like that. So, those are the words I dug up from Merriam-Webster Dictionary for flourish. So, let us quickly go into Psalms 92. Psalms 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. What does the Bible say? It says, the righteous. Are you the righteous? Yes, sir. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13. He says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Then verse 14, it says, 14, it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. That means age notwithstanding, they will still bear fruit. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So in God's kingdom, it is God's plan for us to flourish. You see what Pastor Ayo was sharing yesterday? That it is an all-round thing. It is not just, coming to Canaan and said, well, there's a generic prosperity where we say, okay, we have come into the land that is flowing with milk and honey. But there is a portion for every tribe, like Zebulun has its own portion. So, in fact, do you know what? Caleb went for the mountain top in the promised land. He says, give me this mountain. So, we have been called into a life of flourishing, into a life of prosperity. Say loud amen. Amen. I think we've not been preaching so much of prosperity in this church. That yesterday when he was sharing the word of God, the Spirit of God said to me, son, you have to start preaching it again and very more often. You see, sometimes we can be so fixated and it's so beautiful. And I was the one who initiated that. I said, you should have a balanced expectation. And that's amazing. But did you know he mentioned something about the purpose? There's a purpose for prosperity. Oh, don't miss tomorrow's service, combined service, 8 a.m. All the members that had class or something that were not around for morning session, tell them, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., I'm going to be sharing something very powerful. There is a purpose for prosperity. There's a reason why we must prosper. Must. And you know, like the example Pastor Ayo was giving yesterday, is it not true that some people, they can take a bottle of wine that is half a million naira, and they just rascal, they just live anyhow. All these drugs, I hope you know they are expensive, that people take, intravenous, all these things that they smoke, I hope you know they are very expensive. Amen? It's devil's kids. They have the money. So there is a purpose. So the kingdom of Satan also has a purpose. So you want them to have more money, to humanize more, to propagate Satan's agenda more. For instance, now there are some ideologies now that are thriving because Satan's kids got money. Like LGBTQ, they almost imposed it on one African country until the president said never. I think it's Zambia. Now anybody that is found to be doing same sex is going to be jailed. They took a stand in that country. The Western world was trying to impose it on them. Now in the Western states, and there are people pushing this ideology because they have the money. See, money is power. So we cannot, as God's children, close our eyes on being prospering, beg your pardon. And I'm not just talking about finances alone. I mean, even in influence. It's not just about affluence. Influence. Affluence and influence. We need to flourish. It's a mindset you must have. You must jettison that, poverty, scarcity mindset. And you don't even necessarily have to say, well, I'm scarcity minded. But from your responses, like Pastor Ayo said yesterday, your immediate response to situations will always tell you the state of your mind. The state, whether you are scarcity minded or you think abundance. For instance, have you ever seen somebody fighting the other person saying, you are taking too much air. Ah, you are taking too much air now. Have you ever seen anybody like that? That says, the guy, why are you taking? I'm just angry with you. The way you are taking too much air. You're taking too much air. You see, nobody can ever think that. Do you know why? Because we all agree that air is in abundance. But are there people who get angry with other people when they see them maybe buy a new car? They say, who knows? She's a single girl. Maybe it's Aristo. Like Pastor Ayo said, J-boy. I don't know the meaning of J-boy. What's the meaning? G-boy. Okay. That a young lady that is not up to 30, you see her in a limousine or a G-wagon, and then you start sniffing. Huh. Only God knows how many men. So, in your mind, you feel for anybody that is not up to 30 to have such wealth, they must be doing something. It's part of scarcity mindset. So you cannot, and you say, it is, well, only God knows those that are serving him. Shut up! Flourishing is God's design. Say it again. Say flourishing,
flourishing.
Is God's design.
It's God's design.
Say flourishing, flourishing is God's plan for me. See, do you know that there are people, that are almost at the verge of compromising because of this lack of finances, not flourishing? Are there no ladies who are Christian ladies? And just because the guy that likes them is a Muslim or is a Buddhist, and the guy is insisting, I want to marry you. 20 million. No, I can't fight my conviction. No! 50 million. No! 100 million. No! 200 million. No! Okay. 1 billion. We are cuckoo serving the same God. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. That's why it takes a certain level of spiritual maturity. That's why the Bible says that when Moses, when he was come of years, he refused to enjoy all the beautiful treats in the palace and choose to get afflicted with God's people. Hebrews 11:27. So, may God not get us into temptation. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
So flourishing is something that is so important. We have to have that mindset. We can't leave it to devil's kids. No, it is God's will for us. So, I want to share something very simple, very simple. In fact, I'm going to teach it with a parable so that you can get it. And it is the most popular parable in the entire New Testament. Turn in your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark, chapter number 4. You see, if you want to flourish, notice it says, they that be planted, they will flourish in the court of our God, right? In the kingdom of God, if you want to flourish, you want to prosper the God way. And don't try to separate financial prosperity from spiritual prosperity. See, you must expect the full package. Who made the wealth in the world? God. Who should enjoy it more? God's children. Because we want to push his agenda. Because there's a purpose for us flourishing. You know, my wife was sharing with me yesterday when we go back home that it is true where Pastor Ayo said they were living in Lagos. My wife said it's true that then, men in Lagos, you know Marco Polo. I don't know if you know Marco Polo, boss. My wife said that's what they used to send to Unilag then, to pick people to church. We've had a lot of people in Kubwa reached out to us in some places, even in this common University of the College of Health here too. So imagine if one person says, Pastor, we have some people over there in Maraba that we need to be bringing. Don't worry, Pastor, I'm going to get you 2 Marco Polo bus to be bringing them. Purpose for prosperity. But when we all say, well, give me Jesus, take the world. What nonsense? Give me Jesus, I have the world. Yeah. Amen? We must have a complete, robust, balanced expectation. And so there are 3 key players in the kingdom that if you take very carefully, because when you search all through the scripture, those 3 key players are the most powerful three key players as touching flourishing in the kingdom. So Jesus told a parable. He says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, verse 3, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Somebody say, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. Is that not flourishing? Was produced, part of the synonyms we read? Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, just jump quickly to verse 14. Verse 14. The sower sows the word. Can we all say 3, 2, go? Verse 10, 14, 3, 2, go? So the number one key player in the kingdom for you to flourish, to produce, to bloom, to germinate, is the factor of the sower. See, the sower determines a lot in your life, and the sower actually is the preacher. Somebody who sows consistently into your life. Search all through the scriptures. Whenever Israelites, whenever they went bankrupt, or they needed a financial raise, or they needed to jack up in their finances, it is always by a prophet. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Give it to me. 2 Chronicles 20:20. What does it say? 2 Chronicles 20:20. What does it say? It says, believe your Lord your God. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Come on, and you shall be what? Believe what? Excuse me. Believe is what? And you shall what? Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So the number one, thank you, Suda. So the number one key player in the kingdom is the sower. The sower. The sower is the preacher. So for you to flourish, it matters who sows into your life, because your destiny depends on it. Your destiny may not see the light of the day if you are in the wrong place, getting the wrong seed from the wrong sower. The sower. If the sower is wrong, then the seed will be wrong. In fact, you see, it is the seed that determines the quality of the sower. It is the seed that makes the sower. Without seed, there is no sower. So if you get the sower wrong, you're going to get the wrong seed. So it's so important. So that's number one key player in the school, in the kingdom of God, beg your pardon. And the seed, of course, is the word of God preached. Look at Luke 8:11. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Listen, the word of God, like Pastor Ayo was sharing, is the seed. The word of God is everything. Everything God created, he did with his word. It is our responsibility to believe the word. You know, Pastor was sharing yesterday, he said, it is possible for you to be doing a lot of spiritual activity without believing nothing. I think I've shared with you the same example he shared yesterday. How they were praying that Peter should be released. But they were just into social gathering. They were praying for social reason. Because when Peter was finally released, they believed it was his spirit. Come on. But they were praying. Peter must be released. Peter must be released. Peter must be released. But now Peter is released. And Rhoda goes to open the door. And Rhoda, for joy, could not even open the door. You know, like your dad traveled and is back. And he knocks on the door. And you go there, you hear his voice. And out of joy, you didn't even open the door for him. You went to break the news. Daddy is back, but he's still behind the door. You haven't opened the door. Out of joy. That was what happened to Rhoda. So Rhoda just came, Peter is released. Because they were in the house of Mary praying, kabashing. The Bible says they were praying without ceasing. It says prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter. That means day and night they were praying. La qua, zekata, repato, sala, leguato, padiaga. They were praying with so much fervor, but no faith. How did I know? Because just like Pastor Ayo said yesterday, when Rhoda goes to open the door and comes to break the news that Peter is released, I thought they should rejoice, right? I've seen a lot of people, you ask them, where did you go to? I went for prayer meeting. How was it? Pastor, we prayed. Like Pastor Ayo said, they enjoy the prayer. And it's good to enjoy prayer because primarily prayer is for fellowship. But very few people go to prayer meeting or pray with the consciousness to receive. Very few people. So you hear them saying things like, I'm believing God, I'm praying about. If you prayed about it, you've believed it, then you've gotten the answer. Your language should change. So a lot of people are involving in spiritual activity without any faith in it. And that's why Faith Life Conference is designed for something like this. You have to know that faith is an important ingredient in the kingdom. So you see, it's so important that the words that you hear, they make you. So you have to be very smart, spiritual smart, about the sower, about who sows into your life. If you hear the wrong things, you will produce the wrong things. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Everything, think about it, everything in this world, you know, a few years ago, I listened to someone was sharing how scientists found out something they call sound code. And they were able to explain how that everything has a sound code. Well, that's not a new discovery, because we saw that already in scripture. The sea, Jesus spoke to sea. Come on. That means sea could hear words. There is nothing that is unintelligent in the world. There is nothing. Your prosperity can respond to the word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Money can respond to the word. Like the example Pastor Ayo gave yesterday about Dr. Bill Winston. You know, he was tapping me because, you know, he's one of those guys I listen to. Dr. Bill Winston, when they were going to buy the mall that they turned to church, he went to cut his hair. The barber was saying, well, Reverend, they're trying to make him funny of him. Well, Reverend Winston, we heard you want to buy that mall over there in Chicago. He said he was going to say, well, we are believing God. He said something told him, don't talk that way. He said, well, we already paid for it. We got it. 10,000, it seats 10,000 people. Guess what? They did. You see, can I be honest with you? A lot of people have big head and small hearts. So what people do is they do bold face. They call it faith. But they are not boldened in the heart. And like the scripture Pastor Ayo shared from Message Translation yesterday, we limit God in our minds. And you know, God is not a waster. No matter the largeness of the blessings that God bestows on you, it will still fit into the size of your inward capacity. He calls it inner image, right? Yes, sir. I'll share with you before something I call the law of inner sabotage, right? So what Pastor was sharing yesterday is what I call the law of inner sabotage. That no matter how much of activity you put, spiritual activity you put in place about something, expecting certain results, if there is no enough reasonable faith in your heart already about that thing, it's just as good as activity. So he gave an example of Agbero, that no matter how, if you go and buy a beauty, and it's scriptural, the Bible says you don't put ring in the nose of a pig. That's what the Bible says. So if you wear the best shirt to an Agbero, have you ever been embarrassed? You bought a new shirt, nice shirt. You went to the boutique only for you to see it on somebody wearing, shouting, "Tam, tam, tam." How did you feel? It has happened to me before. Those days I used to wear all eyes on me, Tupac, that all eyes on me, you know, shirt and shorts. I stopped wearing it the day I saw one vulcanizer. The way the thing looked, so, I mean, it has torn here. The all eyes on me, the bandana the guy tied, that place has torn everything, and the thing was looking so like a rag. When I got back home, I removed it. I never wore it again. And this is something that me, I will wash, iron, make it look neat. So what was the difference? The image inside. That's what Pastor was sharing yesterday, that no matter how much God wants to bestow on you, it will still come down to the level of the inner capacity that you have. Did I not share with you building capacity last week? The sower. And what makes the sower a sower is because of the quality of the seed. The quality of the seed. Can I announce to you, the Holy Spirit is not the sower. The preacher is the sower. And the sower is not on TV. The sower is set in the church. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. The sower is a human being. The Holy Spirit is not the sower. The Holy Spirit, which is God, gives the seed to the sower. See, this is a teaching in parable, so you are going to get it very simple. He says, I planted. This is Paul talking. Paul said, I planted. Is that a human being? Come and talk to me. Is that a human being?
Yes.
I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, so what this tells you, and this is so powerful, Pastor Balaji was the one that made me see this powerfully. He says, increase is not a miracle. Increase is an application of principles. Principle of planting and watering. See, if we want to see so much increase in our congregational strength now, all it will require is everybody get to work. I am planting now. If everybody is watering, what is the watering aspect? Inviting someone to church, committing them to discipleship, you yourself having people you are discipling, the whole place will be filled up. We'll be having overflow. We'll start fourth service. That's how increase happens. True? Because someone planted. Have you ever planted a seed and you didn't water? What happens to it? Dies. We were taught in school then simple biology, photosynthesis. We know all the elements, the things you need. You need water, you need sunlight for it to grow. So, the preacher is the sower. And you see, even your salvation will never take place without the sower. Look at the book of Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it goes on in verse 14. It says, look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a sower? So their salvation is dependent on calling on the Lord. Calling on the Lord is dependent on believing. Believing is dependent on hearing. Hearing is dependent on the sower. It could be salvation from poverty, salvation from whatever plague of the enemy in your life. It will come through the word. That's God's MO for doing things. It's by the word and the spirit. By the word and the spirit. See, everything about God is a two-leg standing on the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit. Spirit, no word, nothing will happen. Word, no spirit, nothing will happen. But you already have the spirit. Come on. Are you born again? You have the spirit, so you need the word. Your soil is already fertile. You need the word. Don't forget in Genesis, the Bible says God was faced with a chaotic mass. And the Bible tells us that the spirit of the Lord was hovering, but nothing happened. The spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. For how long, we were not told, but I guess for so long. But nothing happened. Until the Bible says, and God said, light be. And light was. Until he spoke, because his word conveys his intent, his will, his power, his ability. All of these are conveyed through words. You see, like I told you yesterday, I said the nature, the character, and the power of God is conveyed, ministered, and received through words. Salvation comes through words. See, the supply of the Spirit in salvation, in miracles, even in the supply of the Spirit and spiritual resources to mobilize spiritual assignments, they all come through words. Cornelius was saved by hearing certain words. Acts 11:14. The man impotent in his feet in the book of Acts was healed by hearing the word that was preached by Paul. So God does nothing without his word. See, when your word comes, you hear what Pastor Aya was sharing, how that, you know, when he came to Abuja, was it 72,000 or something, he said he came with all the way and he had us caught somewhere. Listen, God's word can change a man's story. If you dare to believe it, I came up north with 52,000. Today I've given out in millions. Giving out in millions. I came, and this is just here five years ago or thereabout. But there is still more. Listen, let me tell you, it makes no difference what your background is. Refuse to let your background put your back on the ground. Believe the word. See, believe it. Believe it. Listen, and how do you believe? You don't struggle to believe. See, when you believe, you would know you have believed. So the only thing you keep doing is you keep hearing. Because faith comes by hearing. Listen, when you want to tune into a certain frequency, radio frequency, you turn it, the moment it catches it, it is caught. True? So you just keep turning it. Those days, all right, I know you sell, many of you just listen to radio now on your phone. Those days you have to turn it. As you're turning it, the moment it catches up with it, that's all. But you keep turning. I remember those days too, all right? When you want to watch, see the TV, I'll tell my younger brother, go outside. We'll be done. You don't see him. You don't catch him. He remains small. Amen? You'll be moving the antenna. You don't see him. Okay. Don't declare. Those days, OGTV, Ogun State Television. Until you catch it. So what do? You keep hearing. Have you heard God's word so much? You're hearing it. All of a sudden you say, I believe! You came cannot believe otherwise. That's what happened to Bishop Oyedepo, like Pastor shared yesterday. He picked a book by Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, took his Bible, went on retreat. He came back and said, I can never be poor. You can't talk him out of poverty. Take him to desert. He will reproduce. You cannot talk him out of prosperity. There was a time that there was a lot of attack on prosperity message in Nigeria. Even his own fellow ministers, that I don't want to mention him, one even went online and, you know, tore his book openly and said, just those prosperity message preacher. Look, his mind is made up. Because there is a reason, there is a purpose for prosperity. During coronavirus, where most pastors, excluding me, I hope you know, during coronavirus, we were preaching. We were opening church back to back. Praise God. During coronavirus, when most churches went on hiding, they were afraid of coronavirus, Bishop planted 10,000 churches. Not one, two. You know how to count your numerals, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300, then 1,000, then 2,000, 10,000 churches. During coronavirus, let me tell you, thank God for human resources, but thank God for prosperity too. And he will say it, we planted 10,000, my God, and we didn't feel nothing. Man, this thing works, my God. You see, and you see me wearing coats, white coats. Listen, let me tell you, there is purpose for prosperity. You see, you must prosper. And it comes by the word. Somebody say, by the word. By the word. Say it again. That everything, like Pastor Ayo shared yesterday, that Psalms 1 and verse 1, that whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever, if he's selling sand, whatsoever. If he's a mechanic or automobilist, whatsoever. If I'm selling air, whatsoever. If I'm into business, whatsoever. There was a young girl, you all heard the story, went online, went viral. They're selling moi moi. I don't know if you saw it, you heard it. I don't know if you read it, you saw it on the TV. Selling moi moi. And then moi moi took her to the White House. For Michelle Obama. I'm not a few. So if you saw it, let me see your hands up. So that I have some witnesses. Moi moi, sir. No, there's no how you want to make moi moi. There's no recipe. Moi moi, it will still be moi moi. Beans. There is no be the best chef in Abashi or whatever. Moi moi at best is still moi moi. Am I correct? If like put egg. Put anything. See, let me tell you. See, the word of God conditions natural things in your favor, such that your mistakes even becomes a blessing. God's word. If you believe the word, if you accept the word, but that word is in the mouth of the sower. So you can't play church truancy, because the seed of your destiny is in the mouth of the sower. So how do you recognize your God-sent sower? How do you recognize your God-sent sower? Look at John 3 and verse 34. John 3 and verse 34. John 3 and verse 34. What does the Bible say? John 3 and verse 34. It says, for he whom God has sent. Can we all read together? John 3 and verse 34. John 3 and verse 34. Can we all read it together, everybody? John 3 and verse 34. 3, 2, go. For he whom God has sent. Speaketh the word. And what? Okay, the screen, For he whom God has sent, speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit to him by what? He speaks the word. The one God sent speaks the word. Speaks the word. And like I said, the Holy Spirit is not the sower. The sower is a person, a preacher. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, it says, God had set some in the church. See, it's okay to listen to a preacher online. I'm also online, amen? All right, all those things are beautiful. But not, see, you can be blessed online, but you cannot be pastored online. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
you can be blessed online. There are a lot of preachers that you can listen, you can follow, you can even do online service, evening service or online service or something, but you cannot be pastored online. Lynette Akin says, the U.S. Army were not trained online. You cannot. Well, my pastor, I listen to T.D. Jakes, you know, but they don't know you in Dallas. The Potter's House in Dallas, T.D. Jakes Church, do they know you? Can they call you? You must belong to a local assembly. See, this is this recipe. You see, I'm not teaching anything, I've taught this before too, right? It's just a simple teaching. See, look, I realize that it is not loading people with so much information. It is saying the same thing until that same thing goes deep. It's not about preaching the deep things. It's about sharing the same simple thing until they make use of that simple thing and bring results. A lot of people know so much in their head, but they have small hearts. It's so important. And once you know the sower, you follow. Listen, I understand that some people have been hurt in church where they came from, so they don't have trust in pastors anymore. You have to, because there are a whole lot of other things that you've been, that has gaffed in your experience in life, but you still never stopped using them. For instance, many of you have come across fake money before, right? In fact, maybe sometimes you've been given fake money before, true? You've been giving fake money for the value of the original money, right?
Yes, sir.
But did you ever stop spending money ever since then?
Yes,
you need it. So you must follow a pastor. Follow a sower. Let's look at a few scriptures so that you know this thing. Followership is actually in scripture. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. I'm teaching you how to flourish. You see, sometimes... the word of God will come to instruct you. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. What does it say? Are they projecting on the screen already? Praise God. You know, everything, every advancement too comes with its challenge. Those days when we're using the normal mixer, if they switch to light instantly, automatically, you are back again. All the digest starts working back. But since we started using, what did they call that one? Digital mixer. It has to boot, and that's why you must have UPS. Amen? First Corinthians 11. Did you come with your Bible? Turn in there, let's read together. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. This is Paul speaking. Can we all read together in unison? Everybody, 3, 2, go. Be followers of me. So Paul is asking the disciples in Corinth. This church was 15,000 strong, we were told. And Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Follow me. Follow me. Go to chapter 4 and verse 16. In fact, start from verse 15 so that I can point something to you in context. He says, for though you... Can we all read verse 15 together? Verse 15. Everybody, 3, 2, go. Verse 15. You can have many instructors, many TV preachers you watch, many, but you can only have one pastor. Only one. Only one father, the one that nurtures and feeds you consistently. Listen, look up everybody. Is it good, all right, Sir Joseph, is it good to go to restaurants? Is it good to go and eat out? But how many of you goes to a restaurant and you say, who is the owner of this restaurant? Who is the manager of the restaurant? Says me. Okay. Calculate 3 square meals in 1 year. My family and I. Morning, afternoon, evening will be coming there to eat. Are there people who do so? Even if it is Indomie or egg, you should cook in your house. And in fact, recent research shows that those who eat homemade food live healthier. So you can go to restaurants to eat once in a while, but you must be eating in your house. Amen.
Amen.
God's word. There must be a you must belong to an assembly where you feed from consistently. Consistently. That speaks over you consistently. That has a pastoral covering over you consistently. Because God speaks to every assembly in a unique way. If you read the book of Revelation, when Jesus was going to speak to the 7 churches in Asia, he didn't speak to all of them once. He gave a separate message to the church in Thyatira, was different from the message he gave to the church in Ephesus. He has different message for the different church, and he spoke to the angels in that church. And the word angel there is metaphoric of pastor. Angel means messenger, the pastor of that church. I like to bring it, you see, Faith Life Conference, look, I'm not here to share big rhema or something. I just want you to listen, just pay attention. Is it possible for you to be a law student, 300 level, and now it is time for exam, and you travel to Lagos, and you say, oh, University of Lagos too, they're writing their exams. You know what? You now enter the place and say, please, law 300 level. I'm also in law 300 level in Insuk. They're writing their exams. I would like to write with them too. Insuk will you will not see your scripts. That's what many people do. Listen, you can't eat. You are not, you know Yoruba, ala bom bom. You are not, there's one insect called ala bom bom. That insect goes everywhere. It everywhere. You are not bee, only bee, that eat all the flowers, all the variety. Is the reason for why many are confused and they do not have conviction. Do you know one thing, eh? If you grow to become a specialist Christian, or if you practice the Christianity of consumerism, that makes you to base your relationship with God only on what you will get. Give me, because my name is Jimmy. It will become the fundamental reason why you keep going from one pillar to post. Just because you want to hear something that answers to that craving that you have, you know what it will make of you? It will make you a Christian that is all about what to get. And that's why such Christians, ever wondered why some Christians, you know, when they leave this country, they go to a better place, their devotion for God drops. Or when they are at the crossroad where they have to make a decision, a critical decision, that will make or mar their eternal destiny, they take the wrong decision. They have no conviction, no roots. I'm coming back to that. Still in the same parable. No roots, no conviction. He is a musician until One big record label says, you know what, remove Jesus from all your song. Remove Jesus from all your song. And the whole world will hear it and will pay so money and you're ready to do it. Because you've been feeding, listen, like me now. If you carry stethoscope, before I got married though, now things have changed. If you carry stethoscope and you check my blood, you will see beans there. Beans, beans, glory to God. Beans. So at least you can say this guy is a beans consumer. Even though he eats other things once in a while. But you see beans? Whether it is bean soup, moi moi, akara. I can eat beans in the morning, akara in the afternoon, then moi moi in the night. I don't care. And then the whole room is just, you know, scenting or smelling. It's not smelling. It's my wife that changed everything and said, no, we're not eating beans in this house again. Amen. So, listen, you must belong to an assembly that you are feeding consistently. You must have a ration. Because if you come to this house today and they have a timetable and they are eating a bar, you go to somewhere else again, maybe it is also a bar they are eating that day. You go to another place again, but if you have stayed in a house where they ate a bar today, tomorrow they will eat beans so that you will be rounded. That's why we teach in series, and God tells us what he wants us to preach per time. Come on. You see, you must belong to an assembly that feeds you consistently. See, Israel had a pastor in all generations. See, because that's how God leads his people. That's how God feeds his people. That's how to flourish. Go back to that Psalms 92 and verse 12. Let's read it together. Psalms 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. What does it say? It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. See, cedar of Lebanon is believed to actually grow up to 100 feet. And, you know, palm tree, they say, can spend 1,000 years. And everything about palm tree is wonderful. The leaf, you can use the midribs. You know midribs? You can use the midribs as broom. You can use, there is nothing on the palm tree that is not useful. Everything is useful. The palm kernel, it even produces wine. Everything, you can get ethanol from it. Everything. But look at what it says. Those who are planted, somebody say planted. Okay, I didn't tell you that of my message. Rooted and planted to flourish. Rooted and planted to flourish. It is those that are rooted and planted that will flourish. Have you ever seen, how many of you saw a tree before you came this morning for this teaching? You saw a tree on the road. After service now, when you go, will you find the tree somewhere else? Why? The tree is planted. And do you notice that if it was a mango tree, in its season it will bring forth fruits? Why? It is planted. We are in mango season now. The trees that are planted, they bring forth fruit. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So your flourishing is tied to you being planted. Be planted. Be planted. So, choose to have a sower that sows over your life consistently, that speaks over your life consistently. He says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. And he says, it's not even, you know, there is no age barrier. Look at verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Oh, say, I flourish. Say it again.
I flourish.
So you follow the sower. A consistent sower that sows over you in season and out of season. Thank God we are a few hundreds now, you know. Hadejo, you were there with me when somebody wanted to camp us on a Sunday, you know, in Abuja. Yes. And he was even talking about taking us to Israel. Right? Yeah. That we should go to Israel, take our flight to Israel, we'll go and preach that this is your pastor, this man, you preach so well. I said, wait. My church. We were four. I left that juicy opportunity, that Tom will call opportunity, to come and preach to four people in that bar. And I have all the excuses because it was even during festive period where all church members have gone. So we had just four people that I was coming to. I left the place because I was coming to preach to four people. Somebody say four. My God. So there is that consistency. Consistency to feed you consistently. So be planted, be rooted and planted. So you follow the sower. Like I said, the concept of followership is God. It's not a man-made thing. Follow me. That's what the Bible says. Then in verse 16, look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. We read verse 15. In verse 16, look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. What does it say? Therefore, I urge you, what? Follow. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. I think you should give me Old King James. Just like Pastor Ayo said that Old King James is good. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Or Hebrews 13, verse 7. We'll still go to 17. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you what? Come on. Is that how you respond? Who have spoken unto you what?
The word of God.
The word of God. That's the seed that the sower sows. Whose faith follow? See, the word faith there, I told you that the word faith, you know, it says, whose faith follow? And I've told you that the word faith is one of those words in scripture with several nuances. That means it doesn't mean the same thing across board. It says, whose faith follow? The word faith there means devotion. That means their devotion, follow their devotion. The things they do, considering the end of their conversation, that means their life. So you cannot belong to an assembly where the pastor loves to win souls and you are not also winning souls. You are not a good follower. The word disciple in scripture from the Greek word matetio actually means a pupil following his master's way of life. Following and learning is like an apprentice. Somewhere learning how to sow. He doesn't just learn practically. He does, and that's why Jesus, when he had ceased praying in Luke 11, the disciples said, Master, teach us to pray as John the Baptist also taught his disciples to pray. Interestingly, they were the disciples of John that once were taught, but now they saw Jesus taught in, you know, preaching in a certain way. I mean, they saw Jesus praying in a very special way that caught their attention. And he says, you know what? Teach us to pray. So, and they began to pray. So you see, you cannot claim to be a disciple or a follower if you don't follow their faith, their devotion, their passion. That's what it means to be a follower or to be following in a local assembly. The church has a culture and you dive deep into it. We say we are winning souls, you're winning souls. We are discipling people, you are discipling people. You're reaching out, you're reaching out. You are jumping into it, you are giving your all. He says, whose faith follow? Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. You see, your father cannot have... See, in those days, the reason why our grandparents had many wives is not because they had very powerful libido and they wanted to just have... Am I correct, sir? The reason why they had many wives in those days and many children is for farming. Because if your father was a farmer, you automatically become a farmer. Come on. You will be called a bastard if your dad has a farm in those days and you don't go to farm. What is your father in heaven's primary agenda on earth? Come on. What is the purpose? Why did Jesus come? He says the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. If you are not seeking and saving the lost, you are not a follower. You are not a true son or a true daughter. Now, I know this is eating so big to you, but it's the truth. If you are not involved in winning souls, that is the Father's heart. Look at Matthew 4 and verse 19. Look at what it says. Matthew 4 and verse 19. You know, I love that Pastor Ayo spoke about this yesterday. He said they were catching fish, and look at what Jesus did. Jesus turned them from catching fish to doing what? Catching men. That there is something bigger than the fish. He gave them the fish first until he turned them to catching men. Look at it. It says, he said unto them, what did he say unto them? I didn't hear you.
Follow me.
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now listen. So that means in followership there is making. Don't forget we said when we're looking at the synonyms of flourish, it's one of it is to make it, right? Yes. So there is a making in followership. He says, follow me, and I will make you. So that's how you follow. So now, how do you follow? Very simple. Look, give it to me. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. What does it say? It says, and ye became followers of us. Listen, look up. You cannot follow the Lord without following a pastor. Let me say it again. You cannot follow Jesus without following a pastor. That's the truth. You cannot, because the God you want to follow has designed it that you follow a pastor. So you can't beat his own system. He has put the seed of your destiny in the mouth of the accredited sower. So you have to belong and, you know, take root downward in that assembly so that you can take root downward. And you must never allow offense dig you out from it. I'm still coming to that. Maybe in the evening session. It says, and ye became... So how did the people in Thessalonica become the follower of Paul? Let's look at it. And of the Lord. Because don't forget, it says, follow me as I follow the Lord, right? Come on.
Yes,
so when they followed, they were also automatically following the Lord. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So Paul is saying, this is the Lord. This is me. Now follow me because I am following the Lord. So in following me, you are following the Lord. Now, how did they follow? Look at it. Can we all read? Go back to verse 6. Can we all read 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6? I want us all to read 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 in unison, everybody, louder. 2, 3, go. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So these guys in Thessalonica, they were going through several challenges. And Paul says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Mark that. The way you follow the Lord is by following the pastor. And how did they do it? They became followers by receiving the word. Can you see that? I told you that what made the sower a sower is the seed. And the seed is the word. So he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord by receiving the word in spite of the challenges they were going through. He says they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. Because, listen, if you receive the word long enough, it will change the situation. It will. If you keep pouring the word and you take away all the debris, the things that can stop you from receiving it, if you keep taking in the word, taking in the word, taking in the word, taking in the word, the word will go so deep, you will take root downward and you'll bear fruit upward. By receiving the word, enjoy. You follow by being planted and submitted. Give me verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Have you learned something at all? Come on, come on, come on, talk to me. Are you there? He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. You see, submission is not automatic. You have to submit yourselves. I don't know. In our days when we're pretty younger, our parents used to tell us, when you go to a church and you are blessed and you want to associate with that church, the first thing you do is to go see the pastor. You first go and submit yourself, say, sir. In fact, in the early church, we saw how when somebody is leaving another city, he will receive a recommendation to be received as a member in another church. True? That's the way they do it. That's why churches, as they get bigger, they begin to create systems that everybody will not be eluded in pastoral reach. Because it's important. Even in bank, they call it KYC. It is wrong for the pastor not to be in touch with the member. It is wrong. And as the church gets bigger, there must be a structure that at least there will be a pastor that is reaching. That's why we have departments. Listen, look. You must be in the knowing and in the system of a working system. You can't float. Floating is not acceptable. You cannot float. You should meet pastor. You should meet your pastor. Your pastor must know you. That, yes, this is my sheep. My sheep knows me. They hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not hear. He says, the pastor, the real pastor, the real shepherd, you know, he goes through the main door, but it is thieves that comes through the windows. Then he leads them to the trough where they drink water. See, it's so important. You must belong to a local assembly. You must meet the pastor must be able to say, that is my son, that is my daughter, that's my church member. And as the church gets bigger, all right, there are structures in place already that grows alongside with it. So that everyone can be accounted for. See, do you know who will give account of you? Let me read it to you. I've seen it. I've seen the poster. Oh, yeah, show me scripture. Verse 17. He says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. For what? They watch for your souls as they that must give what? Now, how do you give account of something that has not submitted itself to you? You can't give a robust account of such. If Jesus appears before me now and said, Elijah, and I say, yes, Lord, where is Dosumu? And I will say, actually, as in, by the way, like, actually, I saw her. Yes, I think peradventure. I should be able to tell the Lord that, oh, this is what she's doing right now. This is what she's doing right now. This is it. Do you know the church in Colossae, when Paul wrote in Colossians 4? Do you know what Paul says? He says, tell Archippus. That means everybody. Don't forget, in those days, when Paul wrote letter, they will read it in the church. Tell Archippus that the ministry which God has given him, that he should fulfill it. Guess what was the ministry? We saw later in the book of Romans, the ministry was, he was pastoring a church in his house, home cell. And the Bible called it ministry. He was a home cell leader, and it's a ministry. Now, that means the whole church knows Archippus. Some people, I understand the temperament of some people. They just want to come and be blessed, clean their bum and go. Maybe they've been hurt in church. I understand. Especially pastors' kids, they've been hurt even by church members. Some people, they've been hurt in one way or the other, so they don't even want to go to church. Like one guy, you know, we're reaching out to him, and he says he was so blessed in this church that he has not been to church in 3 years. That he quit, he had quitted, his family had quit going to church. Say because something they did to them, you know, in that church, you know, and so on and so forth. I said, but you don't quit going to church just because you were hurt in the church. Glory to God. You know, this morning it's a teaching. I'm not preaching. The adrenaline rush and the woo-woo. See, is it entering? Yes, sir. Will you do something with it? Yes, sir. See, after conference, let me tell you, after conference like this, what eventually helps is the things you do after the conference. Look, let me tell you, see, after a conference like this, if there are no action points of the next thing to do, and you are the one that will design the action point based on the inspiration. Listen, God will inspire. You are the one to take action. You are the one to draw the map and said, okay, this is what God said to me. I think I need to step up my game of being planted. I've not been in a department, so what should I do? Oh, I think they have a foundation school. I should join. I'll do that now. If you don't put up action points, all that you heard in a couple of months, you will forget. It is the doer, not the hearer, that is blessed. Come on. The hearing is to be a doer. The hearing is to make you a doer. This is so important. This is so important. So the sower sows the word. So we've spoken about the sower. The next one is the seed. There are three, I said, that are so important. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Those are the three powerful key players in the kingdom for you to flourish. The sower, someone that sows consistently into your life. Then the next one is the seed. The seed, Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. So Luke 8 and verse 11 says the seed is the word of God. Now, what is the word of God? You know, sometimes we get caught up with certain words that have become cliches. What is the word of God? The word of God is not just anything preached from the Bible. There were some things Satan said that are in the Bible. Now, God inspired that it should be written so that we can learn from them. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. That through comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. So it does not mean that just because it is in the Bible, then it is the word of God. What is the word of God? The word of God is that declaration, that message. Are you listening to me? That is consistent with God's provision, intent, and will for a person, a people, or a place. It has to be consistent with the provision that God has in Christ Jesus before it can be the word of God. And that's why hermeneutics is an important aspect of systematic theology. That you cannot just speak a scripture out of context, you arrive at the wrong conclusion. That's why there's a teaching ministry that is so important in the house of God. So God's word must be rounded. It must be right with respect to every other scripture, not in isolation. That is the word of God. So for instance now, Jump! For he had said he will send his angels charge of you. But it was temptation. Jesus could have jumped. But Jesus says, I could jump. But the Bible also said, don't forget, it was quoting Psalms 91. Come on. He was quoting Psalms 91 when he told Jesus to jump. He says, for he will put his angels charge of you. Is that true? But Jesus also said, but it is also written in Deuteronomy 6:16 that thou shalt not tempt your Lord your God. It is called corroboration. So a scripture being quoted is not enough. Is it well corroborated? Is it contextually right? Come on. Are you following me? So there must be corroboration. So that's why the word of God must be properly taught. So the seed is that word. So God, do you know what God wants to do when he gives his word? He wants his word to come into you because God's word and God are one. His word, all right, his word vocalizes his intent, his will, his desires. And his desires, his will, and his intent for you are always good. So when his word comes to you, that is his intent coming to you. So he wants you to receive it so that his word will build him in you. So that the word of God will form in you his intent that will eventually become an autopilot for your life. So when you receive God's word long enough, you know what it does? You start acting like God because God's word is God. So now you are full of his intent. You are full of his will. Your desires now has been automatically structured to always do his will. Because now God's word in your life has become a capital, an indelible imprint of eternal value. So as you keep hearing the word, 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 don't you see our Indian friends? They eat garlic so much that they smell garlic. Have you seen our Indian friends? Indians. How many of you have come in contact with Indians before? How do they smell? They eat garlic so much that the thing comes out of their skin. I told you before I got married, you could smell beans around me. I mean, if I was walking, you would smell beans. Like, I eat beans so much. You open my skin like this, you're going to see beans will come out. I'm telling you, beans will come out. See, you can eat something so much. Like, you know, oh boy. You know, I was telling someone, you know, saying have an issue with body odor. I said, there are very little issue of body odor that is demonic. Very little, maybe 0.00001. I've dealt with one in all my lifetime as a preacher in this last 12, 13 years. It's not common. Most body odor, I think notice people who have body odor when they relocate out of this country, body odor leaves. They are diet changes. Just change what you eat. What have you been eating? Fufu, gari, agbado, cassava. That's why you're smelling. Listen. When you start eating kale, cucumber, nuts, water, a lot of it, drinking a lot of water, everything is going to change. You're going to shrink. All your chinks will shrink a little and healthy, not with a lot of fats. And they smell. So you can eat garlic so much that your skin smells garlic, your clothes, everything, they come into your room, garlic everywhere. You can be so full of the world that way. That anything that touches you is the word that will come out. Oh boy, do you know what I'm talking about? Like as a Christian, you're full of the word. And you eat your leg up on stone. You do mommy, oh, mommy, 28 years old girl, mommy. I mean, you eat your heel. My stripes, Kabbalah, Shifra, Haktiki. You just say it. You didn't even plan to say it. Because it has become an imprinted capital in your spirit. You have fed God's word so much that it becomes the first thing that comes out of your mouth. You can be so full of the word that you become word automated. I mean, you want to do something, the first thing that comes to your mind is, what is God's word saying about it? I mean, a guy is gisting with you, and as he's gisting with you, you know where he's headed. You know, he's going to talk about, you know, I like your smile. I like everything. Right there, you are seated. You're already profiling him and the things he's saying with the word of God. See, this is how to live by the word. Okay, you are about to engage in something, and the first thing is you're already profiling that thing in line with God's word. Like, what is God's word saying about this thing? See, 90% of the times when we are seeking God and his desire or whatever he has to say about a situation, we have actually many times stayed away from the written word. For instance, a lady need not pray whether God wants him to marry a guy who is not born again. Because God's word already said that, can two walk together except they be agreed? 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 16, what relationship does darkness have to do with light? What relationship does believer has to do with unbeliever? What concord is with light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness? So he calls the believer righteousness, unbeliever unrighteousness. So you don't need to pray about that. But it's nice. That's your problem. Niceness or being nice is not the fruit of the spirit. Anybody can be nice. You can be nice and go to hell. Nice people go to hell. And you can end up with an unbeliever and then you now start praying. Olua, Jesu, you can only marry two things in your life. It's either you marry a prayer point or a prayer partner. Lukma, Zato, Rebelebelebe, yeah, oh God, Liba, you can't change him. See, God is not a demon. It takes demons to change people against their will. You are not the Holy Spirit. Save yourself stress now. Take your time. Put all of them on the litmus of God's word. It's your, you are in charge now. Before, the moment you say, I do, you are no longer in charge. You can't control who comes to the house anymore. Because listen to me. You can't marry Satan's kid and you stop his dad from coming to the house. Because if Satan is your father-in-law, he can come in any time. He can turn his head and say, look at her, slap her. Just slap her. And he will obey his father. And then gives his slap, pa! Baby, what did I do? I just don't like you this morning. The seed is the word of God. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Listen. Oh, maybe I'll continue here in the evening. There's some things I want to share about the seed that will bless you. Do you know that what Satan wants in your life is that same seed? The reason why he's bringing all the challenge around you is to choke the seed so that the seed will not germinate. Of the Lord, Abby, that's what he meditates day and night. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So you go, whatsoever I do prosper. So you are speaking in tongues, but whatsoever I do prosper is in your mind. That's how you drive the word of God in your mind to your spirit. See, the word meditation, I will share that in the evening, is actually from the evening.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org. Or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.